Welcome back to Retail Therapy. My name's Will DeFries. Barrett Dudley, how we doing today?
We're doing great, man. This day here that we're recording, it's got big Friday energy.
Kind of does.
Does it not? I mean, sometimes we record on Friday, so maybe that's why. But I just feel, you know, spring break, South by Southwest is happening in Austin right now. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's one of those weeks where kind of like every day feels a little bit Friday-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. After coming off like a vacation last week and having a lot to do this week, I have my father in town this weekend.
Yeah.
And so like the last thing I want to do is like work, cause I just want to go hang out with him and I've been in vacay mode.
Yeah.
But we will endure. It's okay. Yeah. The South by stuff in Austin really just kind of makes like everything feel like the town's like going off at all times.
Yeah.
I've been seeing lines outside of like restaurants and bars that just make me absolutely sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting behavior.
Yeah. There was a big one outside of a Deep Eddie Cabaret. I clocked one. You know, I think they've got some showcases or something going on.
There was a line downtown yesterday that I couldn't fathom what it was for. Like you could, it was like there was a Taylor Swift Eras tour going through the
probably a movie premiere.
Okay.
Is my guess.
Okay. Do people line up for those here?
They do. And I mean, like notably, like, I don't know if you know this, but like we had the Sweens in town.
Oh yeah. Heard Sweens in town.
We had Big Goss in town.
We had
Emily Blunt was with him.
We had Harry and Meghan
premiering their new movie, The Fall Guy.
Anne Hathaway rumors swirling.
Harry and Meghan were here. I think they were here last week, though, or like at the end of last week.
Yeah.
Maybe for the education. Did you even know that there's an education segment of South by Southwest now?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. I ignore most of South by Southwest unless we're invited to parties or we're hosting a party.
Right. Yeah, a lot of buzz about how we're not activating this.
People were pretty bummed that there's a lack of activation from the retail boys, but you know,
that's okay.
We like to keep people guessing.
Yeah, on their toes. You never know what we're gonna do. So
this was one of the years where I was like, it was like a week out, and I was like, I haven't gotten any texts yet about anything. Like it's probably not gonna happen this year. But I was like, you know what? I'll take the stress. I'll take the stress for a year. It's okay.
It is. Yeah, it's a lighter load. That's for sure.
It feels good to be back, Barrett. I feel like a lot of stuff that we talked about last week might be bubbling up in this week's episode, but I'm not mad about it. We do have a new addition to the team. I'm very excited to announce that after a lot of talk and a lot of budgeting, we have finally added something to the crew, and that something is the baby girl gong.
That was nice.
We bought the world's smallest gong. It will now reside on Randy's desk. And anytime that a baby girl comes up, maybe it's Jacob Elordi, maybe it's Barry Keoghan, maybe it's Paul Mezcal, you will be hearing the baby girl gong to keep us honest.
Yeah, very, very nice. And to go with that's obviously the you know, the counterpart to our ALD bell. Thank you, Randy. And I'm happy to report that I was concerned that I was going to have to put Ame in the persona non grata list here on the retail podcast, because famously I was not granted my usual early access to drop one a couple weeks ago.
Crazy.
I got somebody else's link and I made a small purchase today. Uniform drop. Come to find out, I've graduated to the early morning. Early access. So I don't know if they heard the pod, if they heard me, if the vibes were just put out there that they were in danger of getting, you know, the boot from being named on this podcast, which would obviously hurt their bottom line pretty significantly. But we're back and I'm allowed to say the name again.
You need to be on the late early access and I need to be on the early, because I'm up early just with doing kids stuff. I need that adrenaline rush. You're not even awake when you get the 7:30 email.
No, I mean, I'm barely awake.
Yeah.
I'm rolling out of bed, like grabbing my phone first thing. It's a nice thing to wake up to, though.
I don't want to reach out to them and say like, hey, like I deserve this, but I just want to be like, it would really help me out if you could hit me with that, that early one when I'm already awake.
Right.
I think we'll get to more of that in a little bit. I do have some major announcements. Scented candles are back in stock. Unfortunately, the one in front of me on this table today is simply... Or did I throw it away? Oh, no. It's out. Can't burn it right now. We need to get more in the studio.
Wow.
It's ugly. Go to velabox.com/sundayscaries. Go get the Retail Therapy candle. I've been teasing these boxers, or I've been calling them leisure shorts, just for chilling.
Yeah.
I've been teasing these for a while. These will be dropping today, if you're listening to this episode on Sunday. The mailing list eats first. This will probably be part of the Sunday Digest. So just go click into that and make sure you get it before it goes to Instagram. Our YouTube is back, youtube.com/SundayScariesPodcast, to watch all of these. That link is in the description of this episode. And then listener companions as well. The link is in the description of this episode. And go follow us at retail.pod on the Grom. We're a good follow, I'd say.
Add me on the Grom.
You've been getting some Groms off lately. You're on your film stuff.
Well, you know, it was wedding season for me, and there's nothing like a wedding to give you just a treasure trove worth of content.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I've got a backlog of content just waiting to be wheeled out there.
COVID stole my clout from my wedding.
People are probably sick of it at this point, but cool. I got more to drop. But yes, I was on my film shit. I feel very proud because I had people asking me what type of setup,
what's
like
your rig, dude?
what my film, you know, what am I working with here? And I, you know, was happy to report this was a $20 disposable camera from Best Buy.
They take good shots.
Yeah,
they take good shots.
Now that I know how to use them. Right, because on what we brought the one on the bachelor party.
Yeah, that was ugly.
Nobody knew that, like, you need full blown light, or you better have that flash on.
You need the flash on at all times.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
We got married so close to COVID that like I felt COVID pretty much like everything shut down pretty much right after we got married.
Uh-huh.
So I felt guilty like wanting to post like wedding stuff because it was like there's probably bigger fish to fry in this world right now. So I didn't get any clout for that. It was kind of a bummer. I do have a scenario popping up where I will need a new camera.
Okay.
I have my film camera and I really enjoy it, but it's the sight on it is not exactly accurate. And so, I don't know if I've told you this, Barrett, but I am going to a Tuesday practice round of the Masters.
I've heard. Yes. Yeah. And that's very exciting.
Part of the reason I'm so excited is because I get to bring the camera, but I don't want to bring the one that has the bad eyes, like the bad sight that doesn't, it's not totally accurate.
You don't think it's giving your photos like a little je ne sais quoi to have a,
I think
it
does. Yeah. I think it does in a way, but I also fear that like, because it's a film camera and you only get one shot at it and I'm going with like my mom and stuff, I want to get some photos of us and I'll be devastated if the photos of us are like, I'm cut out of the photo and it's just my mom standing there with like an arm around her, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I just got to make sure that it all goes through. But we're going to talk a little bit more on digital cameras in a little bit.
I do want to take a moment here, just give the people watching on YouTube a little treat. There were two disposable cameras on the bachelor party. The one of them only had a couple shots taken on it.
Okay.
And that's the one that I ended up bringing to Toto Santos for my little mini moon there. But when I did get the pictures developed, there were a couple of pictures left over from the bachelor party, I believe taken by you. And they're very arty. And they were they were essentially the only ones that came out properly.
This one was me.
and it's just, you know, it's just a I'm gonna call this hot tub still life.
It was the pre-opre. It was the pre-opre.
This is you and my buddy Thomas. You bailed from the mountain early. We'd had a big night the night before. This was post like this was my rough day. You know,
this was the I need the chairlift to stop swaying day.
Why has
the chairlift been stopped for 20 minutes day? And so we went back to the hot tub and we pulled out some Miller Lights, and some bottled water.
Yeah.
And I saw it and I was like, yeah, this is beautiful. Yeah, it's a midday hot tub with just all the things you need right now.
Yeah. So there, you know, ever the photographer will.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm glad that you knew that was me. And it was a very good scenario. Those things were needed at that time. I needed that opre more than I was willing to admit that day.
Yeah.
Let's hear from our friends over at Mugsy before we get into the thick of this. Mugsy makes the most comfortable jeans, chinos, shorts, and joggers ever. They're made from buttery soft patented stretch materials that look stylish but are insanely comfortable. Never too baggy, never too tight, and frankly, they're the best things to happen to legs since chairs. If you're not familiar with Mugsy, they've really got it all outside of just jeans. They had a mission in life to give every guy the confidence to walk blindly into their closet, reach out, and know whatever they pick will have them looking good and feeling even better. They've got the Cool Max denim that's like air conditioners for your legs. They spent years in the lab developing the most breathable jeans ever, designed with lightweight fibers to ensure a cool breeze with every single step. You can go from the backyard barbecue to the bar in one swift motion all summer long. But they've got more than just jeans. They've got some crew necks that are just dialed in, just very, very clean. Randy and I have been wearing around their corduroy shirts as of late. But if you head to Mugsy.com, you can get 10%
shirts.
Dave did get some corduroy shorts from them, though. Mm. Yeah. Head over to Mugsy.com and get 10% off now using code SCARIES. That's 10% off some of the most premium jeans, chinos, swimwear, and shorts on the internet. They offer free shipping and returns, so there's absolutely no risk in giving them a try. And if you're in Chicago, Boston, D.C., or Austin, Texas, make sure to head downtown and check out their storefront as well. Easy vibes every time, and you can even enjoy a beer as you shop. Let's get into it. I've never shied away from like Twitter beefs. I kind of think they're fun. Back in the PGP days, I think I would almost manufacture them sometimes just to breathe some life into the office every once in a while. And I didn't reach beef status, but I could see something happening that was beef adjacent. There's a Twitter account that I've been following for a while now called Need. They are verified, so if you type in Need, you might see it pop up. But it's at N-E-E-E underscore E-E-E-D. And they also have a Instagram that is Instagram.com/buy_need, B-Y.
Okay.
And they post just straight vibe photos all the time. And a lot of the time, the reason I follow the account is because I like a majority of the photos, about 95% of the photos. And unfortunately, this account was, they kind of had to fall on the sword here because they were just the flavor of the moment for me. But I singled out a couple of their photos and was like, I hate these photos so much. You know, like the mood board whole like vibe in life, Barrett. Like,
yeah,
like every guy's had a mood board or has at least thought about having one or scrolls them. It's just mood board season at all times. And there are just some mood board photos that I really just cannot deal with, Barrett. And this is one of them. You have it on the screen right now. It's just a mattress that appears to be, if not on the floor, just as close to the floor as you can get. There's a puff in the corner that you cannot sit on for more than 2 seconds to put your shoes on. And then there's no side tables, no anything. And like people look at this and they're like 690 people retweeted this. And we're like, wow, that's a vibe. And I'm sorry, this room looks terrible to hang out in. I don't want to sit with my back against the wall, scrolling my laptop, wondering like why I have back issues. Like I don't want to have my phone sitting on the ground, on the dirty ass ground, like with the charger hanging out the wall.
This is pretty pretty minimal. You know, maybe people are just on their Moby shit, you know.
This is so Moby.
And they just want to be in a room with their mattress on the floor and nothing else. People say that your bedroom should be for sleeping.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And
so I shouldn't have a 70-inch flat screen in front of our bed like we do now.
Yeah. I mean, some people could take umbrage with that. Excuse me. But yeah. I mean, these certainly aren't doing much for me. I think that. I'm never going to be drawn to a room, whether it's on a Zood board or not, that like has no function.
Yeah,
you know, it's clearly very set up for the shot and for the vibe.
Like this next one that has the least amount of function I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, like is that a dresser?
We have some of the most uncomfortable chairs I've ever seen.
What's happening here?
It's what should be a desk, but instead it's just a dresser that's storing art supplies. And then there's a lamp on here. And all I can see or think about when I see this lamp is that someone will trip over the cord and either unplug the lamp because it's not near a wall or somebody will trip on the cord and just take the lamp completely off.
They've conveniently not plugged in the lamp for this shot. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like this, this seems to have only been presented for the photograph and that, you know,
there were times when we were moving over between Christmas and New Year's this year, where like we had like only a couple pieces of furniture in certain rooms and stuff. And I was like, man, this is pretty aesthetically pleasing, but like it's an unfurnished room.
Right.
What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Not
living in it.
As much as I should have diversified my criticism because, you know, they're just posting photos that are, you know, vibey and they have a very large hit rate. Finally, after I kind of made fun of them twice, they shot back and posted a bedroom with a mattress on the floor, a laptop sitting on the floor, which is what you do, and a side table of just some stacked up bricks and a lamp that's also sitting on the floor that does appear to be plugged in, and then a glass of water also sitting on the floor. And they just responded to their own tweet saying, this is Will DeFreeze's room. And when I saw this notification come through, I got some kind of weird sense of gratification because normally like mood boardy things don't exactly like at people.
Yeah.
And I felt special. I was like, this feels good. And I have to say, I've probably posted photos very similar to this on Sunday Scaries.
The a glass of water is a staple of your repertoire.
It really is, and I've since made amends with the account, and had a little friendly banter. The runner of the account and I, we follow each other on social media. But I'm glad that I just want to say, I'm going to pat myself on the back. I'm glad that I'm keeping everything honest here. I'm glad that I'm keeping these mood boards honest. We can't just be putting up photos of mattresses on the ground and making this acceptable.
Okay, so can I ask you something?
Mm-hmm.
They posted this before adding you as one of their posts.
Yes.
So was this supposed to be aesthetically pleasing?
No, I think they posted it pretty simultaneously.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Like they you can set up a thread, right? Like you can tweet a whole ass thread now.
You can tweet a whole ass thread now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shouts to Elon.
Yeah. Okay. So this was not supposed to be like, ooh, vibes. Cause this is, I can't tell. This is the worst of all.
I can't tell. I don't, maybe the photo doesn't get posted if he wasn't going to make fun of me.
We're mattressing on the floor. Sheets are a mess. We got bricks as a nightstand. I mean, this is awful.
Like the photos that drive me, like
somebody needs to get back on their feet here in this photo. And I feel bad.
The photos that drive me the most insane are the ones that are from like Italy or maybe a field somewhere, and somebody has set up a bed on like a big piece of grass, and they are just like, they have their comforter out, and I'm like, all I can think of is the bugs that are crawling on this comforter right now. Or like, you just took the comforter from the hotel you're staying at and brought it on like your hike with you so that you can lay it out on the ground and look like you're like vibing. And you know, at first glance, I'm like, okay, I can be down with this. And then the more I start to think about it, I'm like, this is disgusting behavior.
Yeah.
You can't be bringing this stuff and sleeping this close to the floor.
By the way, I love low beds. I love a low profile, like platform bed. Like that's, and you know, when I've got my dream bedroom set up someday, like that bed will be 6 inches off the ground. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's my shit. But just mattress on the floor, we're worlds apart here. A mattress on the floor, that's like I said, that's a sign that you're down in the dumps and like bad things have happened.
I need to tread lightly though, because while our mattress is not on the ground, we are not a headboard family right now.
We do not have a headboard either. It's something that I've been dealing with for many, many years. My beds have always had headboards, big headboard guy. I've grown accustomed to it, but as mentioned, when eventually we like do have the bedroom that we want, king size bed gets involved. Like there will be, it will be headboard city.
We just have not had a headboard for years, and we've just put a painting up over the bed and put enough pillows between us that we're not touching the painting and we're only on the pillows.
A lot of people don't have headboards.
But there's that narrative about like, if guys don't have headboards, like it's time to move on.
Is that right?
Yeah. Like, oh, he doesn't have his shit together. He doesn't have a headboard.
I think we can just back that up one. If he's got a bed frame,
just be happy.
Okay.
Let's not be too picky here.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if it's just that black metal one that you get from like Uline or something and it's cost $7, like
if your final draft is Uline, you're in trouble.
Then that's still iffy. But if the mattress is just straight up on the floor, like that's a red flag. Yeah.
Randy, did you have something I feel like you had something that you were going to mention a little bit ago. Was I off on that?
I can't. I think this reminds me a lot of those photos of guys could just have this and be happy, and it's just a TV and a lawn chair with like a PS5, and that's all they need in this big empty room.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I've got the den that I'm trying to set up at our place right now, and like I finally got a couch in there, and it's like not even a full couch. It's part of a sectional that I got at a warehouse that I got for very cheap and an additional 25% off, probably because it didn't have the rest of the sectional. But like, I hate that I'm looking at the room and being like, you know what? I could probably just have this couch in here and a TV on the wall and be totally fine. I don't even need I don't even know if I want a coffee table, because what if I want to like do some stretching or get some yoga done? Then I have to move the coffee table.
Yeah.
But then I'm just as bad as the people that are posting photos of it. I'm just, if you're out there, please keep these mood boards honest when you can. That's all I ask. Do we have a follow-up, Barrett?
Yeah, I've got a little bit of follow up. I'm also going to just lightly pat myself on the back, if you don't mind.
I would love you to.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
That's why we're here.
So last week we did our spring ins and outs, and we recorded that on Tuesday. I believe the date was March 5th, and One of my ins was just dressing nice, which I kind of tried to wax a little bit about, but I think probably had a, you know, I was kind of all over the place. I had a hard time fully articulating.
Well,
what
the
in I was,
and out episodes are generally chaotic.
What I was trying to say, I probably did an okay job, but I the very next day after we recorded, the New York Times posted an article as Paris Fashion Week had wrapped up. And this was predominantly focused on reviewing and drawing takeaways from the women's shows. But the article is titled The One Thing You Need Next Season. And the conclusion is essentially that the one thing you need next season is a bit of attitude. And I'll pull here. I'll read. In the end, that may be the biggest takeaway of the season. The, to be very business school about it, most important learning. The one thing that should inform not just shopping, but more important, dressing. The thing everyone does every morning. The point isn't so much what exactly you wear, but how you wear it, with commitment and a touch of formality. That's what you need for next season. Not one specific item, not a mood or a vibe, but an attitude. This is, after all, no longer a time for half measures. That way lies disaster. It is a time to stand for something, pay attention to details, dress to meet the moment, even when the moment is a mess, maybe especially when it is a mess. And then just yesterday, a review came in for Eddie Slimane's Celine collection, where the takeaway was more of the same. Basically, that like there is a very clear shift towards getting dressed, towards dressing up, essentially. Here's my pull quote from this article. Mr. Slimane and Ryan Murphy of Feud, Capote versus the Swans, seem to be on the same page in embracing the return of highly conscious, coordinated outfits and embracing the idea of the outfit itself, retrieving it from the dustbin of the passé. There's nothing casual or just rolled out of bed about these clothes. Nothing, oh, this old thing. Rather, they speak to the importance of dressing for the occasion when every day is the occasion. So I threw that dressing nice on my in list because of like a way that I felt and some conversations that I'd had with friends. And then it seems like exactly that was essentially reflected in the Paris Fashion Week shows and in the subsequent reviews from those shows. So I just feel a little bit validated that like this idea of like putting a little bit more thought behind what you wear and maybe elevating a bit is kind of like coming back into fashion.
I feel like as a guy, it's been more pressure to be like on trend in the last couple years, last few seasons than there ever has been. And it's like, I mean, it's self-inflicted. It's an enjoyable thing for me. And I hope it's an enjoyable thing for other people to like get excited about.
I think there's no question that like with the rise of, or with the democratization of fashion in general, but then also the rise of podcasts like ours and Throwing Fits and others that are out there, and Instagram accounts like Nolita Dirtbag and assorted other like men's fashion meme accounts, like there's never been a better time for guys to be into this.
I just feel like there was always a uniform at whatever age you were. There always seemed to be like a uniform, and people would follow that uniform pretty like strictly.
Yeah.
Whether they knew it or not, but like I feel like now not following the uniform is what people are more into, and that's how it should be. It's more fun. It's a lot more fun. But you also see people like asking fashion questions. You hear fashion questions from people that you'd never expect to hear fashion questions from in the past because it wasn't something people cared about.
Yeah.
But there's just this like bubbling up of caring that is great. I've always been interested in fashion, but like, I mean, in 2020, I pretty much wore all black like every single day. And it's been really fun trying to figure out like what colors I like to get into my wardrobe now and what matches with what and like what cool items I have that I can match with my like more frugal items. And it's just an enjoyable experience. I just have always liked dressing up though. I think just watching my parents get dressed for like dinners back in the day, like they'd go to, and like I always loved the buzz in the house when I was a little kid and my parents were getting ready to go out to dinner.
Yeah.
You had the babysitter coming in that you knew you could just ruin their life and not have to worry about it. You knew you could stay up too late watching movies, but just like seeing like my parents getting ready and like getting a whiff of like perfume these days where I'm like, oh, that's what my mom used to wear. Like, and it takes me back to like those scenarios of like them getting ready. It's just nice. I had a sweater sitting out on my desk right now, and friend of the pod, James, was in the office yesterday, and he picked it up to see how it was. And he's like, oh, this thing smells like cologne. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I've been dressing nice lately.
But yeah, so I just a quick look at some of these New York Times columns, and we'll drop the links.
Are you watching Feud? You.
I'm not watching Feud.
Are you going to watch Feud?
I might.
It
sounds interesting.
Once I'm done with Traitors, I think I need a television show that's not reality. Uh-huh. And so I think I'm going to dip into maybe Feud, maybe Shogun.
Yeah. Shogun is tight.
There's the Netflix show with the guy from White Lotus that everyone says you can't leave the show not just completely emotionally devastated.
One day. Yeah.
That's on the list, but I'm not kidding when I say that every single person that I've talked to about it says that it is just, if you're emotionally fragile, you're toast.
Okay. Yeah.
And I couldn't even finish Normal People.
That one looks a little too like Falling of the Stars.
The Fault in Our Stars.
The Fault in Our Stars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or A Walk to Remember. Yeah. Or any of those like very like kind of tear jerky romances.
I know. Like, I want like the Bad Boy White Lotus version of this dude though.
You know he and Megan Fahey are full on thing.
I'm ignoring it.
Yeah.
I'm so in love with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sally understands it. She gets it. She's like, well, like you have full clearance to fawn over her as much as you want. I think I'm more in love with just her character as Daphne, though.
Sure.
I liked that. Barrett, I just added something to the rundown because it's insane that we haven't done it. And I think we have a unique perspective being in Austin. But Outdoor Voices. Yesterday, there was a post from the Outdoor Voices account that was pretty much saying like everything's 50% off. And this weekend, it's going to 75% off.
Yeah.
And then reports started flying about people getting let go from the company pretty ruthlessly. And my group text just started going off because it was such an Austin staple.
Yep.
It's wild seeing the rise of that company and now the fall of it.
It's an amazing fall from grace. And this did not come as a shock to me, nor should it have come as a shock to anybody that has been paying attention to OV for the last few years. But it is definitely still like the end of an era, mm-hmm. you know, the official end of an era. Mm-hmm. And it's especially sad for everybody that was working at Outdoor Voices, because despite all the red flags and all the stuff that's been going on over there, all reports indicate that this was just a total bombshell dropped on them. I believe it was yesterday. And nobody's getting severance. Everybody is fired. All the retail staff was let go. Stores are shutting down. Every store is gone as of on Sunday. And so this is a total, like, they really, like, you know, the C-suite, the leadership team clearly like made the call to just cut all costs that they could immediately. And it's a bummer for everybody that works there. As kind of an ode to the brand, in 2015 and 2016, you could not walk a block in Austin without seeing a pair of the tricolor, like color blocked leggings.
You couldn't. And if there was an event going on that was hosted by Outdoor Voices, like people were going to it. People were like, oh, are you going to this event? People were like, I was joking around in our group text yesterday with some of Sally's sisters that like one of them said like just the chokehold that this company had on all of us for those years.
Yes.
And I was like, yes, you guys were showing up to dog walks so you could get cups with Outdoor Voices on it.
Yeah,
like this was embarrassing behavior from all of us. I think we can acknowledge that now.
In the Grandex days, it would be like a little like kind of like a low-key race when they would like drop a new color of Sunday shorts for like who could get to the store fast enough to like claim that color, to claim the pair, to claim the color. You know what I mean? Like
I've only bought a few things from them in the last couple of years, but I bought a pair of like just very basic black like running shorts essentially, and I wear them all the time still. I have some of their Cloud Knit t-shirts that are just extremely comfortable for working out in or sweating in.
Yeah, I've not made any purchases in several years. I popped into the South Congress store maybe 2.5-3 years ago and tried some stuff on, and none of it fit me very well. When I've been talking to people about this yesterday and really over the years as some of this stuff has kind of leaked out, like the problem is that Ty Haney was the brand.
Yeah, she was, and
she truly was the reason that, like, and many of our spouses and people that we hung out with,
And maybe even us, we've always kind of had like a love-hate relationship with her.
Yeah.
Like we understand why people might not like her, but at the same time, her whole thing, her whole shtick, her look, her vibe, everything like it was very alluring.
Yeah.
She knew how to sell the brand in a way that like very much was her.
I was supposed to have her on Sunday Scaries at one point, and I'd gone through all this process of what everything I had to do in order to do the interview. The morning of the interview, I get a text from her personal assistant that says, we can't do today. And I was like, well, when can we do? And she was like, it's probably not going to happen. And I was just like, you couldn't tell me this more than an hour before. I don't blame Ty Haney at all for that because I don't think she had any part in it. But it was a glimpse into, at the time, it was a very good glimpse into how kind of sloppy they were operating at that time when she was still there. Yep. And, you know, new founder problems, whatever it may be. I truly don't really blame her. I probably did for a little bit, but like, I don't blame her for that. But it was just like, I was like, yeah, I get the sense that this company is very fast moving and maybe not in all the best ways. And I don't think it was that much further after that. The article I have pulled up now, that was like the most damning article from the New York Times about them, when they said in 2018, the company's handful of stores were spending roughly $22,000 on Maison Louis Marie number 4 candles, $45,000 on fresh flowers, and $36,000 on Topo Chico bottled water.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money to spend when you're just in startup phase and selling leggings.
Yeah, yeah, but and I mean, I don't doubt that I think it was potentially that same article or right around that same time when like some of the toxic culture stuff kind of came out.
Yeah,
and this was like during like the fall of the girl boss era, mm-hmm. right? When several of those companies kind of cratered, and it was revealed that like. The empowered female CEOs were kind of running companies and establishing cultures that were not great for a lot of people. All that to say, like, I don't doubt that there were issues at the company when she was running things, but the way that they booted her and removed her from the company had a lot of hubris as well.
Yeah.
To not be able to look at what was happening and realize that she was the brand, mm-hmm. and that regardless of what needed to happen with like operations and how the company was being run, like she was still an essential part of it.
I would love to see my purchase history after she left, because I bet it was a nosedive.
Yeah.
We have so many tote bags from Outdoor Voices. Like, what do you do with them?
They absolutely got their clock cleaned by Set and Aloe and Fabletics, mm-hmm. and like several other athleisure brands that just like swooped in.
I'm going to truly miss the Outdoor Voices heyday in Austin, Texas. I liked being able to show up to an event wearing some moisture wicking Outdoor Voices stuff and not have anyone turn their heads because it's Outdoor Voices.
It's OV, baby.
Yeah, you're good. Like, oh yeah, you're in a nice restaurant, doesn't matter.
They, at their peak, they reached a valuation as high as $110 million in 2018.
Okay.
A trusted source told me that they were looking for a buyer recently, trying to sell for $7 million.
Oh, that's depressing. The stories that come out like that just always make me so depressed to think about. There's so many different companies that get that huge valuation, and then like 10 or like 4 years later, it's like, whew, okay. Note to self, if now you're getting that position, just cut the losses. Cut the losses before you can.
But yeah. I think they're still going to try to exist in some fashion. I think, you know, the reports are that they're going online only. They're going back to being like full DTC. But I don't hear people talking about them. Like, I don't see the clothes out there. I don't know what
the fad ended a little bit.
Yeah, like they didn't
the color block stuff. Like, yeah, it just kind of ended. And like one of the big issues that I probably had with the company, which is, you know, they probably were trying to follow the money, was that they just didn't put a lot into the guys stuff for a while. And it just kind of cooled me off. Yep. And I started buying Lulu because they just didn't have the stuff that I wanted.
No, like, I remember that. They fully abandoned men's for like about 18 months.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I had a pair of pants that I would wear from them all the time. They were this like kind of thicker tech material that had a cuff at the bottom. And I walked into the, I'm not going to get the location correct for the Ame Leon Door store. Thank you, Randy. It was not the Mott Street.
Mulberry?
It was, what's Mulberry?
The new one.
No.
So okay. Mott is the
Let's scale back. What's the current?
Mulberry.
And then?
Mott.
was and before then, that. That's it.
Okay.
They've only had two locations.
Okay. Maybe it was Mulberry. So I went in, and one of the sales guys there, who was dressed great, walks up and he goes, "Like your pants, dude."
Oh yeah, that was the Mott Street. That was the OG Mott Street.
And I looked down and I was like, "Oh, you're wearing the same pants." I was not expecting the ALD guy to be wearing Outdoor Voices pants. And he goes, "All my friends roast me for wearing these pants all the time." And from that moment on, I was like, "Well, I'm gonna wear these pants a lot, because if these are cool enough for him, they got to be cool enough for me."
That was like OG Nolita Dirtbag. That was the that was the beginning
the
of it.
Still
that
works
was the
there.
That was the Soho Bros.
The guy still works there.
Does he?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. He has to have just been grinding for them.
Wow.
Yeah, Sally's got a crush on him. Like, you're not going in the store with him anymore. You're not allowed.
He can't. He can't. It's too much clout comes with working at the ALD Mulberry store.
His clout is soaring.
You can't give that up.
Barrett, I've got something on this rundown that was on last week, but we didn't get to it. Might have even been on the week before, but I feel like it's a good time to talk about it, mainly because, one, you just got married.
Yeah.
Two, I think wedding season is about to be just rolling out everywhere else.
That's what people are saying.
Yeah. And we also just had the award season that has come to a close with the Oscars. It's black tie. Black tie is something that gets talked about a lot, just because, like, there's different ways you can do it. There's the stress of buying a tux versus a lot of people renting a tux. And we just kind of confront issues every single time with her, at least I do. And I just kind of want to talk about the ins and outs of it and get the retail therapy bird's eye view of it.
Yeah.
Do you like black tie?
Of course. Love black tie.
Love black tie.
Yeah.
Love black tie.
That was the selection that was the dress code for our wedding, because, I love an opportunity to dress up. I love an opportunity to put on a tuxedo and have everybody else do the same, and everybody else looking and have the whole crew looking fancy and dapper and you know, like we're at a great formal party.
When I bring up the pain points of black tie, does anything jump off the page to you of like, you know what? I do hate this part of it.
I hate is far too strong of a word. The tying of a bow tie is difficult, and I can do it, and I think I end up with a nice look, but I'm not the best at it.
I'm terrible.
But that is also part of the inherent charm of tying your own bow tie, is that it doesn't look perfect unless you're my dad, who I don't know how he does this. I have no idea what he's doing differently. The way he ties a bow tie, like, you would swear it's like a clip-on. It is so perfectly
tied. That's just dad stuff. He's just doing dad stuff.
You know, like, you know how you have to you fold over the top?
And yeah.
Like, I always get a little wrinkle on that.
Oh, yeah.
On the middle part, on the knot right there. His is like flat as can be. It's perfectly done. I don't know what he's doing.
I'm so unbelievably bad at it. It probably has to do with the fact that I struggle with my lefts and rights. And then when I'm looking in the mirror, it like even crumples my brain even more. And when I'm listening to the video, and then the pressure starts mounting, I can feel the sweat like on my
sweating,
brow.
You inevitably start sweating.
And then you start like looking at your phone, and you're like, if I don't get this in the next 3 minutes, I need to call someone to come over here and do this for me. Sally has gotten very good at it. And so I usually am not doing black tie without her there, so I can rely on her. But I need to learn it, because there's going to be some time where I'm invited to something and Sally's not around, and suddenly I can't, like, knowing how good I love the messy nature of a tied bow tie. Mm-hmm. When I see like a clip on, like, I'm like, you know what? Hey, you got to do what you got to do. But the messy nature of it is like the fun part of it in an outfit where everything else is supposed to be so uniform that I like seeing it. I mean, I have several things that I'm just like, I never know how to go about it. The studs, you and I have both been the flat front shirt guys for a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. With that's an easy fix. Whenever people are asking me about tuxedos, I always recommend searching for a flat front, covered placket, French placket, whatever you want to call it, shirt, and just eliminating the need for the studs.
It's the best move I've done for my tuxedo in years.
Yeah.
It's made traveling with it so much easier. It takes away the stress of freaking out where my studs are. And if the only thing you have to worry about is the cufflinks in that scenario, then you're in a good position.
Yeah.
I need to upgrade my cufflinks horribly, but I'm kind of looking forward to doing it when I need to do it next.
The Derek guy just did a thread on X, I think he was talking about black tie, but I think it was also in relation to the Oscars. And he did mention that I feel like I'm a traditionalist about black tie. He's even further. And he did mention that, like, with black tie, you need a waist covering. Like you're supposed to wear a cummerbund or a vest.
Okay.
And I know that that's traditional, but I think even like if you go read like Sid Mashburn blogs or whatever, like that's a pretty traditional brand. And even they're like, no, like with the right rig, you don't need that. Mm-hmm. And that and I did not wear a cummerbund or a vest with my wedding tuxedo. And that's another thing that the fly front kind of fixes a little bit.
Yeah.
Like as long as when you for me, when you absolutely have to have a cummerbund or a vest is when is two things. One, if you're wearing studs, typically they do not go all the way down the shirt. Mm-hmm. So you have to you have those that section. The studs just stop and you have that section that looks awkward unless you cover it.
And I unfortunately judge people way too hard when I see that look going down. I'm like, you got to cover that up.
And then if you have a shirt, a tuxedo shirt that has a bib of sorts. That just, again, it stops kind of right there at your abdomen. Like that can also look weird if you don't have a covering there. But if you go for one of these more modern, like sleeker shirts with the fly front and a bib that goes all the way down into your pants or that doesn't have one, then like you kind of eliminate the need. And I think it's a nice clean look to drop the cummerbund or the vest. If you're going to take off the jacket, you're not dealing with like the weird buckle showing on the backside. It's like, yeah, if we're going to the opera, if this is ultra formal, if you're definitely not going to take off that jacket, sure. Flex the cumbie.
If it's black tie wedding and people are having, and I know it's going to be a fun wedding and people are having a good time, that's not even a stressor
you
of mine.
You don't need it. Yeah.
If I'm worried that it's going to be a more formal event, then the cummerbund's probably getting packed just in case. But it's just not something in the mix for me at this point. I do have like suspenders that I really like, so I always wear my suspenders with it.
Yep, love wearing a pair of braces. That's an opportunity. Like if you're just like a guy that like needs like a little like pizzazz, you know, like beyond your tuxedo, you can do something. You can do an interesting pair.
Next question: how do we pizzazz these things up, Barrett? Yeah, like if for the people that have that like need to do something that's not just putting on your traditional black tie, what like. It's difficult if you're not walking a red carpet to pizzazz it up and not look like you're just taking it too far.
Yeah. Well, so some things that I don't think you should do. Can we start there?
Mm-hmm.
Is pretty much what all the guys at the Oscars did. And that was they just decided that despite it being Hollywood's most formal occasion and the most serious event and the one that carries the most weight and that everybody cares about, and like this is old Hollywood and everybody goes gowns and beautiful tuxes and yada, yada, yada. And the dudes, they were just like, fuck this, we're not wearing ties this year. So this is Gosling here in, I think Versace, where he just like went like four buttons undone, a bunch of jewelry, silver glitter piping on the tux. I mean, maybe for the Grammys, but not for the Oscars, dude.
Like Killian,
but Bradley Cooper also did not wear a bow tie. Robert Downey Jr. did not wear a bow tie and had an open shirt. Randy, what you got?
Is Gosling baby girl status?
He doesn't fit the bill.
He doesn't push like the fashion, the young guy fashion needle
when he's in his 40s.
Yeah, like I don't think it works. Like the reason. But being old doesn't take you out of it because we've got Pedro Pascal. But
he pushes
the envelope though when it comes to like style and stuff. And so Gosling's more he's universally liked, but he's not baby girl.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Like, what if I showed up to your wedding with a brooch? You'd be like, where'd you get that brooch, Blair?
I was definitely going to go there. That's a swerve that also happened at the Oscars this year.
Hold on, can we go back to the no tie thing?
Yeah.
Imagine if you won an Oscar.
Uh-huh.
And then you look back 20 years from then and you're like, oh, why didn't I wear a tie to that?
Yeah.
Like, if you were giving your speech and you had that, it'd be like, I really probably should have just gone a little more classic here.
Cooper, who was nominated for Best Actor.
That's why he didn't win, dude.
Shows up in this.
He was too thirsty for it, and he didn't wear it. He didn't dress up for the role.
This outfit from B-Coops makes me think. I mean, well, I'm pretty sure he knew he wasn't going to win, but you can't get up there in that.
No. It's like that just looks like you didn't know how to tie your bow tie, and you're like, all right, we're just leaving. Let's get out of here. It's in his front pocket.
So I didn't love the informality. It's not that I didn't like the looks. I thought Robert Downey Jr.'s was cool. I liked his little dandyish little ribbon tied around his neck. Like it was a fun, good look. It just didn't feel like the Oscars to me. And it felt like they didn't really follow the black tie dress code. Okay. Before we get to the brooch though, let me tell you what I do like right now that I think is a great way to flex in a tuxedo right now. And that is, I've not been able to find like the formal name for this yet. So right for now, I'm just going to call it an oversized bow tie.
Mm-hmm. Floppy as hell.
But the
Dumbo
battle,
ears.
The Battletoad bad boy himself, Micah, wore one of these to my wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. it's a bow tie that like, it's got like a, it, the bottom of it is like way too big.
Yeah.
And it kind of flops and mm-hmm. it looks like it's almost to the I'm forgetting the name of it, but it's almost like the Colonel Sandersy thing.
Yeah.
Like the ribbon bow tie, the kind of Western one.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that same type of like visual aesthetic where it's kind of falling a little bit. And I've also got Glenn Powell here and Tom Ford. This is what he wore to the Vanity Fair after party. And then I don't know who this actor is, but he had one. And then Killian's is not that same kind of like big kind of like oversized triangle shape, but it's got the flop.
It was a choice.
And this is my shit right now. Like if you want to do something different, this is where I like playing around is with the shape and the flop of the bow tie.
Okay. I wholeheartedly agree with this. I really do like it. Yeah. Like Killian's isn't exactly what you were talking about, but it was clear that a choice was made.
Yes.
And it was executed very well.
Yes.
And especially for someone like him, who the front runner to get the Oscar, making a small edit like that and not going straight classic, it's still classic enough that it's like, no, you look great.
Yeah.
I didn't love Glenn's look at the after party just solely because we don't have it here. His pants were so tight fitting.
So I purposely didn't include the whole fit because I thought the pants were a miss.
There was a brief period where I entertained getting some very translucent sunglasses to break out for the dance floor at your wedding, but I was like, I don't have the time to find what I want, and I don't need to go spend a bunch of money on a pair of glasses that I absolutely will wear once and probably shatter on the dance floor at some point.
Speaking of Derek Guy tweets about tailoring, you remember when the Tom Ford tuxedo rejected me, which was fine because it was way too expensive anyway. This is a photo of Mark Consuelos, the husband of Kelly Ripa, and the tweet is from Derek Guy. He says, "I've never seen anyone look good in Tom Ford tailoring except for Tom Ford."
That's biting. You don't like Tom Ford. If he reads that tweet, he's like, "What's your problem, dude?"
The sleeves here are too tight for him. The upper back is too narrow. The lapels are buckling away from his chest, and the waist is too tight. Yada yada yada. He kind of roasts the Tom Ford tux, and the jacket does not look good here. But I started thinking about that, and for the most part, when I see Tom Ford and I like it, it's on Tom Ford. Like, that is exactly right. Like, Tom Ford crushes it, but I think he is potentially guilty of making suits that literally fit him, and that's not that, and that's it.
That's probably what I'd do.
It's kind of hard to blame him, but I just thought that made me kind of smile a little bit because I was like, okay, I'm not the only one that looks like trash in a Tom Ford tux. Anyways, Glenn Powell, his jacket looked pretty good. It was Tom Ford, but I totally agree with you that the pants were a little too slim, a little too tight.
I feel like the tailoring stuff is so top of mind for people that like that matters more on the red carpet than anything because people are just getting roasted off the planet for it. Like The Rock was getting killed with all his wrinkles on his satin. Like you got to look in the mirror before that and be like, am I supposed to look this wrinkly? It's just not great.
I think it's a game of inches. It's a game of millimeters, really, with tailoring. But like, those are definitely some key things to look at. It's like you don't want to be wearing a box. But they always tell you to start with the shoulders. Mm-hmm. Like when you're trying on a jacket, everything can be fixed except for the shoulders. Mm-hmm. So the shoulders need to hit you perfectly. And then then you go to the sleeves. You want them short enough to where they're showing that quarter inch or half inch of cuff, right? And then it's like, and then the rest of it is just like, you're making small adjustments, but any pulling, any wrinkling, any like
any weird stuff like that that you can see visually in the mirror, like those are bad signs. Mm-hmm. And if you start seeing all that pulling and wrinkling, it's like you're probably in the wrong size.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm officially a non-steamer at hotel rooms before weddings because it just wrinkles too fast after doing it. Yeah, like yeah. As much as I don't want to get the iron out at the hotel room, like it's just a necessity at this point in order to not look wrinkly at some point. It's just devastating. Well, I'm glad we talked through some of that stuff because I there's only so far you can go with black tie stuff to like spice things up. And like whether it's your tie, whether it's like shoes and stuff like that. But you even have to be careful with like shoes and everything because you just don't want to go too far out of the norm and stick out like a sore thumb in those scenarios where it might make your decision, your choice, not look like a good one because you're the only person doing it and you're not totally pulling it off.
Here's the you brought up the brooches. I'm into it. I think this is another fun thing to pull off if you want to do something interesting. This is on Vogue, the biggest menswear trend at this year's Oscars, a dazzling brooch.
Ooh. Ooh.
So it's official. It's brooch season.
It's brooch
baby.
Season.
Yeah.
All right. I need Ame to drop one ASAP.
Whole squad brooching.
Yeah. Hey Drake's, drop a $400 brooch. That's that I don't need.
Drake's would probably make a good one. I bet
they probably would.
Yeah.
They probably would.
Yeah.
I want to circle back on something. We've been talking a lot about digital camera or about like film cameras and stuff like that, but I think we might have touched a little bit on like the point and shoot stuff because I don't totally get that as much as I get the film portion of things when it comes to taking photos. And now I'm realizing that there's just too much of a gap. My nostalgia is for film, and the nostalgia of Gen Z is for that 2007 digital camera look that like I don't have as much of a connection to. If anything, I was ready to get away from it because I got tired of looking through 60 photo albums on Facebook from parties where we all looked horrible. But a recent article came out on Fast Company that was called Why Gen Z is Obsessed with Point and Shoot Digital Cameras. So obviously I had to dive in and I've taken a couple paragraphs that I'm going to read. It says, Gen Zers are often billed as the digital generation, the first to have grown up in a smartphone dominated with an ever-present internet connection, but that also might explain why they're yearning for more simplicity and disconnect. Plus, influencers continue to showcase older cameras on TikTok and Instagram, fueling the demand cycle. After Kendall Jenner was featured with a Canon PowerShot ELPH350 in an Instagram
post. The elf, baby.
The elf. The discontinued camera quickly sold out in secondary marketplaces. It now goes for $399. Other popular point-and-shoot cameras like the Canon G7X and the Contax G2 have been sold out and backordered for months, much to the older photographers' confusion. It says the resale market for digital cameras has gone up because of its limited supply. It goes on to say a lot of influencers are using a specific camera like the Canon 7GX or Contax G2, which is around $1,000 or more, and a lot of them are sold out. Resale listings for the Contax G2 have been as high as $1,750. And it says a camera, one Gen Zer said a camera from 2007 gives off a certain vibe that something like an iPhone can't produce. The vibe has a warm-hued gives vintage-looking photos that make us feel like we're living back in the 2000s. When the iPhone was released, it didn't have the best camera, but it had a pretty good camera for something like that. And I remember there was a moment where somebody posted a photo and I thought, wow, that's an iPhone photo, not a digital camera photo. And that is officially the new flex. Like having the look of an iPhone camera is like the new flex of this was in 2007.
Okay.
And I was like, I can tell that's an iPhone.
Okay. Yeah.
And like now it's all just gone back and changed. Now we're just back in the digital camera thing. I don't know if I can get on the digital camera portion of this as much as I like the film part, but I do think that there's a world where I start skewing away from the film just for ease of use and start doing the digital camera.
It's just shocking to me that like, what would you have thought if in 2018, somebody had just told you, oh yeah, all those little dinky point and shoot digital cameras, you should just stock up on those. Don't give those to Goodwill.
Get that
like
Olympus out.
Like you're about to.
Yeah, you might want to get some memory cards while you're at it.
Cause that's yeah, it's just it is interesting. And just even thinking about like the carrying around the Instax and the disposable that I was like in Mexico. There's an inconvenience about it. You know what I mean? Like that's what was so nice about
getting a super nice camera on your phone is just made things so like there was, you just had your phone and there's your perfect camera right on that phone. And like, and now we're like lugging around these things again. We got to get the little wrist straps going again. And like
the complaints in this column though, like one of the complaints from one of the Gen Zers was like, oh, I don't want to have to go through all the iPhone photos that we took at this lunch and have to dump and upload them into my photo editing app. And I'm like, is that more difficult than like taking a digital camera and like dealing with all of that?
I mean, maybe that's the thing is that
when can't be that hard,
right? When you take these shots on a disposable or an old school point and shoot, no editing required because that's what you're literally going for the film, the vintage look.
Mm-hmm. But I have a theory. Well, I think film is way more inconvenient and obviously an expense where this is a one-time expense.
True.
And you're good.
That's true.
And so that's always going to be there. But I also have the theory that Gen Z, while they're saying they want to do this to get away from the iPhone thing, I also think the instant nature of being able to look at it on like the little screen on the camera or something, I think they still want that. Uh-huh. I just don't think they want to. I think they just want the aesthetic more than anything,
I totally agree.
You know me.
This is a visual aesthetic choice.
Having
more,
the little
more so than a. Than anything else.
Is having the date a flex at this point? The little date in the corner?
No, because there's an app for that, man. You can throw in.
Yeah, but when it's authentic, it's authentic.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, this is a wave, man.
I'm not buying a point and shoot this expensive.
You better not be taking your photos on an iPhone at this point.
If any listeners
not
out there
if you want them to be good.
I trust the retail therapy listeners. If anyone out there has a film camera recommendation for me, please, please reach out because I am trying to operate on a strict time schedule. I don't want to spend a ton, but I definitely just need something that's more reliable than the current camera that I have. Even
what is
I
the
really
current
like
camera
it.
That you have?
I don't know. It's like a Shure, like, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't remember what it's called. Everyone asked me, and I think it is close to this one. I think it's a Canon SureShot, something close to that at least.
Dude, just get a Leica, bro.
I can't. Oh, they're so expensive just looking at these things. But I have to get a good one for the Masters. You can't even bring a phone in.
Yeah.
And I'm blessed with a practice day.
Do they pat you down for your phone or what?
I think they do. Yeah. I don't really know. Never been, famously. Need to go.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for it. I am. There's going to be a segment before my trip there that is me talking to you about what to wear to this because I'm very, very concerned about it.
We're gonna have to do it soon. I mean, it's only a few weeks away.
I know.
I do, last thing, point and shoots, Gen Z, I feel they will likely, now I know they're not going out as much as we did because they're all going to bed at 9:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. But this fad, it could die out quickly once they all start leaving these at the bar. 4 or 5 times over, as we all did in our early 20s.
Oh yeah,
and now given the resale rates of them, that's going to be a painful thing when you lose that $500.
Oh, yeah.
Canon Elf point and shoot at Logan's for the third time.
Don't dump your like clutch out at the table and take a photo of your digital camera and then post it from the restaurant. Someone might just come up and walk by you and nab that thing. It might be over for you. We got some articles of interest we can breeze through. I put ALD takes on here because we had the first drop and we didn't get to talk about it. Now we've got the early access from today.
Yeah.
Have you copped anything from the first waves?
I did. I grabbed the little Moto jersey thing.
Oh yeah. I forgot.
It was surprisingly I knew it was a piece that would sell out and it was $99 or $90 or something. So I was like, yeah, sure. I'll grab that.
Yeah. I get it.
It's chill. It's cool.
It's chill. Cool.
It's fine.
I haven't bought anything yet. I want to. I'm just waiting. I think everything's been a little more watered down than seasons past, it feels like. And I also feel like they always save like some of the stuff that I really covet the most in the lookbook for the later drops.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. There's some decent stuff in here. It's always interesting because I think the ALD audience at this point skews really, really young. Mm-hmm. You know, it's picking up all it's more and more of the Kith and the Supreme followers and young people are, you know, we kind of joked last week about like the Aloe trucker hat guy, like being one step away from discovering a Unisphere hat. And so more and more, and I don't mean this pejoratively, but more and more like casuals are kind of like finding the brand. And so like, I saw people talking about this leather jacket here, which is a denim print. And nobody understands that this is just a rip on the Balenciaga.
Yeah.
Gian famously wearing the jeans doing our interview last year on the Nordstrom pod, and Kendall Jenner wearing like the full denim printed leather outfit. And then an item that I really do quite like, it's a little bit rich for my blood, especially as we head into the summer, but maybe if it makes it to EOS, like, and again, like Bodhi's been doing these double breasted cardigans like this.
Yeah.
Like, so this is not new, but this is kind of blowing the minds of the guys that, you know, aren't pouring over runway shows. But I really, really like this, the DB cardigan.
I missed this early on.
And then, you know, today's drop had like the big patchwork jacket that I expect will fly. It had the soccer, it had the football shirts.
I'm going to buy the kits. That sweatshirt at the top. I'm going to buy the gray one with the green on it at some point. I just need to get drunk and remember that I want it. And I just haven't been doing that much lately. So just keep an eye out for that.
But yeah, I mean, it's been cool, you know?
I like the Picasso stuff a lot. I like that. Yeah. I like the idea that the hand-drawn, hand-painted or whatever, just the look of it. It's just cool. Barrett, if Laura is cold and you're wearing an Amiri jacket, are you going to offer her that, or are you worried that it's just going to ruin your fit by offering her this? Because Barry Keoghan chivalrously lends his Amiri jacket to his new girlfriend, Serena Carpenter, after making an official couple debut at Oscar party. Dude, he's so loved right now. He's just making headlines for sharing his jacket.
I love the first reply to this tweet, by the way, from Jacob Gallagher. You simply cannot stop the Amiri agenda. it very funny that they called out his Amiri jacket by name. Yeah, he's been Barry's, you know, he's been rocking Taylor Swift Eras Tour gear as well. I don't know if you saw that.
Really?
Sabrina on tour with Taylor, so he obviously has a nice little pipeline.
That justifies the sweatshirt I wore in today. I wore my Eras Tour sweatshirt. I love that sweatshirt.
Nice little access, nice little plug there.
If someone's on the fence of buying a secondary market Taylor Swift Eras Tour sweatshirt, just know that I don't wear it because it's the Taylor Swift Eras Tour one. I wear it because I love the fit of the sweatshirt. It's perfectly baggy.
I mean, and I guarantee you, it's just a blank from somewhere.
Definitely is. Oh, 100% is. Yeah. It might just be a classic Gildan.
The thing you got to watch out for here, obviously, is that typically if you lend your Amiri jacket to your new girlfriend, you're not going to see it again.
It's gone.
Right.
It's gone.
Yeah. So.
Sorry, Barry.
Yeah.
Can't talk about anything. I can't do retail therapy without talking a little Paul Mescal real quick. I think I just found my... What? The person made their tweet private in the last hour.
Wow.
That's weird. Okay. Well, it was a Paul Mescal running club uniform that was just essentially what he wears running. And I was like, this is a great Halloween costume. I love the idea of this. Are you going to buy The Rock's new skincare line?
I had not heard of it until you dropped this here.
You're not a Papa Tui boy?
I mean, now I am.
You know what? I like The Rock. You're a Fast and Furious guy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You like to live life fast and furious. That's and right. Also watch the stuff.
Well, a quarter mile at a time, baby.
I am happy with the look and the vibe of Papa Tui, The Rock's skincare line. I'm happy with it. I also love the price point of this. He knows the boys don't want to spend too much on this stuff. Oh, you want some body wash? $8. Let's do this.
The Rock is a man of the people. You know, he has to maintain that piece of his person as he gears up for an inevitable presidential run someday.
Yeah.
This is sold at Target. It looks like you can also buy it at Target and at an approachable price point. And you know what? The next time I'm at Target, I'm going to swing by the shelves and I might pick up a couple things now that I'm looking at this.
Cedar Sport?
I love an enriching bar soap. I'm not joking. Like there's a Kiehl's body bar that's like $16 a pop that I never buy because it's absurdly expensive, but it's awesome. Like it's really, really good. And I might give this a shot.
Yeah, the scent alone for that price point, like I'm down to try some cedar, some coconut, some sandalwood suede. I'm gonna try this out.
Why not?
You might see me Papa Tui'd up. Barrett, if TikTok goes away, is your life going to be affected?
Not so much. No.
I neither.
Yeah.
I neither.
It's my innate like rejection of authority, like has me up a little bit upset about this, but also I kind of adult me also gets it. Like why this is not good. Why what's happening is not good. Like,
I just don't use TikTok that much.
Not to get political on us, but like, we can't just be giving China all of our info yeah. and data at all times.
Seems like
a bad move.
I don't know much about data collection, but like, I'm also of the moral standpoint that like, I don't want everyone having access to my shit.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I kind of also feel like this is just going to, they've been waiting to do this so they can force the hand of ByteDance or whatever the company is called to divest and move the American operations into the hands of an American company. I have a hard time imagining a world in where like America is like the only country with no TikTok.
It'd be weird.
You know, weird. You know what I mean?
Would people be getting like VPNs and stuff and just downloading it?
I think
it?
The kids would be getting VPNs.
Yeah.
You know who loves this though? You know who really, really wants this is Meta.
Yeah.
You got to think Zuck is behind the scenes just like lining the pockets of anybody agreeing to ban TikTok.
I mean, yeah, selfishly, as someone who has a, Sunday Scaries has such a big Instagram following mm-hmm. and I don't have hardly any following on TikTok for it, like it would benefit me if TikTok just went away.
Right.
That being said, like I also know people have good TikTok followings. I don't want their following to go away.
Right.
Like that's hard work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't want people to lose their creative outlet. If that, like a lot of people, I know a lot of creators, not personally know them, but like I have heard creators say things like, I feel more free to do whatever I want on TikTok and be a little sillier, have more fun on there because Instagram and stuff like that is so like curated that it's just not the same. And so
I do pop onto TikTok every once in a while and I enjoy my time there. It's definitely different than what you're served on Reels or on Instagram. Although most popular TikToks do eventually make their way to Reels.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to, I'm more just interested as a spectator to see how this all shakes out.
Yeah.
But it will not affect my life a great deal either way.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. Should we do some wish list items?
Let's do some wish list.
I like what you got going on right now, Barrett.
Yeah, I'll start here. Again, kind of piggybacking off some stuff I talked about last week with my out was Nike. So we'll get to that in a second. But one of my issues was that Nike didn't really seem to have a Samba competitor. Speaking of Santa might be bringing me some Sambas. We've reached final level boss Samba.
We have. I hadn't seen this until now.
And it's official, but Jound is releasing two pairs of Sambas. And I hate myself, Will. I hate myself, but these are absolutely fire. This is absolute flames. They are made in Germany. They're built on a real last, all high-end leather. I love the black tongue under the white laces. These look absolutely sick.
They're good. This is probably.
I know that, like, look, I know we look at this picture right now, and most of us will just see a regular ass Samba. But this is good. This is really, really good. And after it's an actual departure from the actual
Samba.
And after I jown-pilled myself a little bit when I read the GQ article a few months ago, like, and now I know that.
Gotta be careful jown-pilling yourself.
And now I know that, like, their whole deal, like, the MO is that they want to change things by 5%, right? Mm-hmm. But like, just enough to make it something different. I think they actually went beyond 5% here with the elevated production and with the elevated materials and with some of the small dialed-in changes that they did, like the little, like the contrast leather lining on the footbed, and I'm just sold on
the footbed lining leather is beautiful.
I will absolutely be gunning for a pair of these.
Let me know.
Absolutely,
I might join you. I can't look at these without just thinking of the word supple. I want to put my finger in the middle of that interior and just sit there, just feel that softness.
So follow up on that. I kind of trashed Nike for not having a Samba competitor last week. But I had forgotten that they are cooking up a little collabo with a brand that you may have heard of, Will.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Bode.
How did I miss this?
And this has been bubbling for a little while. The shoes have been featured in some styling photographs from Bode, and so it was known that they were working together. But the kind of official press release just dropped this week, and they are pulling from the archives a silhouette that I believe is called the Astro Grabber. They are also releasing this in two colorways, a white and a black. And again, like, this is an absolute must have for me. Like, this is exactly what I was asking for last week. It's like a very simple wear with everything shoe from Nike. And I'm right now I'm feeling very, very bullish because the comment section on the Instagram accounts, the typical sneakerhead Instagram accounts,
Sneaker News, Hypebeast, whatever else, showcasing these, the comments are absolutely brutal. People are hating.
People
these.
Are not happy.
And I hope that they keep that energy because I would like to be able
to sounds great.
I would like to be able to just sneak in and scoop a pair of these.
People are doing a lot in this comment section.
Retail for these, I want to say, is either 130 or 150. The Jaun Sambas are 250 retail and will probably be extremely hard to get. So more likely that I end up with these over the Jaun Sambas because I know that's going to be a total shit show.
Mm-hmm.
But two unreleased, very wearable, very versatile, perfect kind of summer white based sneakers. I'm bullish on both, and I'm looking forward to these drops. So adding both to the wish list, even though neither are available.
How are you going to respond to noted commenter David when he calls you out in public?
What's he going to say to me?
He said, "Oof, that feeling when the romance of fashion derived from a sensibility that seemed to perch just beyond the central vortex of global market capitalism dissipates." You're doing a lot, David.
Look, I kind of understand where David's coming from. There is a look, Bodhi is a brand. It's a company. It's a business. They want to make money. And that has been made ultra clear with their expansion. They've got like the entire bottom floor of the New York Nordstrom right now with signs everywhere. And they are moving more and more of their production overseas so that they can produce more units. And it does take away from some of the original dead stock nature of OG Bodhi. But like, how can you fault them for that? You know,
like when Nike comes a knocking, you answer that call.
That's exactly right. And I think as long as they stay true to the ethos, which is this very, you know, 1950s, 1960s, 1970s, like old, you know, old school, very collegiate. Like, I think this fits. This works for me. And if you can expose your brand to a bunch of people that definitely know Nike, like you have to take that opportunity. And I quite like the shoe, so that makes it easy for me. And the fact that we have been blessed and lucky enough to like visit the store and see that if you're that they are still doing the one of one stuff, they are still sourcing those dead stock fabrics and making super unique pieces. It's just they also have to have the mass produced side of their business or the more produced side of their business so that they can keep the lights on and
I get it,
pay their employees.
Which is paramount these days. Yes. Well, my wish list item's a lot less sexy than yours. I'm just doing a pair of shorts.
I did a pair of shorts last week.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I bought them, by the way. The Lulu 5-inch soft jersey shorts.
Are you happy?
They're good. They're really good, I gotta say. Yeah.
Well, I'm just going with some Abercrombie shorts. I ripped my go-to errand shorts, like walk around or casual hot weather shorts. I got to rip in them, and I'm going to keep wearing them because I don't mind the rip in them. But I need some shorts that maybe have a little flatter of a front and not a hole in them. And so I'm going to try these little short guys from our friends over at Abercrombie and Fitch.
Okay,
I'm going to try it in the brown. I think it's time I get some brown shorts. I like darker colored shorts most of the time anyway. And so I'm just going to give them a flyer. I don't really have a lot of recommendations in the short game. And so this is really just me dipping my toe in this year and buying shorts from a million different companies until I find one that I fall in love with and I buy them in different colors.
You going to sneak over to the OV closing sale?
I don't think I am.
See if you can grab any pairs for 75% off?
I just don't think I'm going to. Unless they have any items from the APC collaboration like 2016, I think I'm good. Yeah. I did get a OV APC pullover like rain jacket for like $20 at one of their sample sales one time, and I'll be forever happy about that.
We'll report back on the ANF all day short.
I can report on these.
Okay, you have these, Randy?
Yeah. Field report from producer Randy.
But last year I was very into trying to find some new shorts, and I did try these on, and these were my favorite that I had tried on. I didn't get them, but because I just decided to tailor and like hem all my regular shorts, but. These were good. Yeah, I did enjoy these a lot.
Very sustainable of you, Randy. I'm going to applaud you. Very sustainable.
Thank you.
Well, I was speaking to a friend on text message. I was actually talking to him about the Lulu shorts that I just bought. Mm-hmm. He said that he had to be careful with five inch inseams because he can't be, you know, he can't be like making all the T-ball mommies chase him around.
True.
Do you feel that way when you like take Fritz to soccer practice, you got to keep the gams kind of covered up to not start an absolute riot out there.
No, because when you mentioned soccer practice, Fritz's soccer practice last summer was at 5 p.m. when the sun was just beating down on us. Yeah. There was no escape in the shade. I was trying to wear as little clothing as humanly possible.
It was too hot to stir up the mommies.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Everyone was just had their eyes shut. Just
beaten
trying to,
down by
it,
the
it was truly the worst. And as a short leg king, I need to keep those legs out and about.
Yeah.
Because if I'm wearing too long of an inseam, suddenly I just look very squatty.
Okay.
And I get real in my head about it. So if you see my thighs rolling around Austin, Texas, just know it's not going to change anytime soon.
Okay.
But I do need to get some party tats on my legs to match this guy's vibe.
Yeah.
It's an aggressive
if you're going to pull off the Paul Mescal costume for Halloween, then you're going to have a thigh tat.
That's fine. I can get a thigh tat. Thigh's not out of the realm of possibility for me. Yeah. I think I'm a thigh guy.
Yeah.
I'm pretty happy with my I can't do arm because like no tattoo is going to look good on my arm. Like it's just not going to work. And so
I just think you need a lot, you know, if you're going to do arms. You got to get like six at one time.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think I can just do a party tat on the thigh and call it a day.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's all she wrote today. We'll be back. I don't know if I've told you this, but I am going to be out that week of the Masters. And
oh, because you're going to the Masters.
I'm going to the Masters.
That's right.
I don't know
right.
if you've heard this, but I'm going to the Masters.
Yes, yes, yes.
So just a little programming note there, but we'll see you guys next time.
Okay.